everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, June 29th. We just finished watching Raw, and it's time for the Monday night tradition where we gather here on Mega Powers Radio for the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio, where we invite you to get involved with our conversation about tonight's events all throughout the evening. Very interesting Raw we had tonight. We had a great tag team main event with Seth Rollins and Kane going against Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in a no disqualification tag match. We saw the return of John Cena's United States Open Challenge, including the return of Cesaro. People wondering where the heck that guy's been. I think we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. And as I said, we want to hear what you got to say about it as well. But first, let me tell you guys a little bit of the ways that you can support this show. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/megapowersradio. For as little as $1, you can help keep the lights on here at Mega Powers Radio Studios and keep the ball rolling so we can keep keep you bringing you great programming like this show, the Dace Man Show, All Talk Show, and anything else we get running on the station down the road. Also, you can support us by finding us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, anywhere podcasts are found, really. Subscribe to us so you can get our shows instantly anytime they are available. And while you're there, please rate and review us because that helps us climb the charts and helps other people find us. And if you want to help people find us, invite your friends. I'm sure we all have other friends who are wrestling fans, so get them involved here as well. And, that's all I'm going to talk you here for now. In the meantime, let's get the ball rolling with the hosts of the show here. My name is Mike Payton, Station Director of Mega Powers Radio. With me is Anthony Mango, President of Smart Gout Moment, Fanboys Anonymous, and host of the Smack Talk podcast. What's shaking, Tony?
Not too much. I'm trying to figure out what these burgers are, or these sandwiches, or whatever they're talking about. All I keep hearing about is bacon, and really kind of interested in Arby's right now.
They didn't really clarify what they were. Like you said, no, what are these didn't. Sandwiches? They kind of left it interpretive.
Yeah, that's my biggest takeaway.
We also have Mr. Steven Huego, host of Huego Rants, addicted to anime and unanimous decision MMA. What's shaking, Mr. Huego?
I am sleep deprived, but I am here.
Oh. Woo. Sounds like you're also oxygen deprived.
A little bit.
Sounds like you're also Luke's father.
Oh, as I said, this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We want to know what you got to say about the events of tonight. You can get involved in lots of ways. We're going to be opening up the phone lines around 11:30. But if you want to be the first one to get on here, go ahead and dial into our number. It's area code 760-512-7247. We also have the chat room opened up for all you folks to get involved instantly with your words. Let's give shout-outs to the folks who are here nice and early. Five times combo, Ferris 419, Chaotic, Wazillion. I think this is a new one, Straight Edge Dustin. What's up, Straight Edge Dustin? Welcome to the Raw Post Show. Also, if you want to get involved on Twitter, at Raw Post Show is going to be available for you to tweet at us. I know our good friend Dane Quinn likes to use that medium a lot. And also our official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Whatever way you like to get your word out there, we could probably support you. In the meantime, let's get started with us here. Let me ask you guys, number one thing you took away from the show tonight, Wayo?
The number one thing I took away was that the only feud that I give a shit about is Kevin Owens and John Cena. I just think they're doing a piss-poor job with some of the builds to these matches, and Cena and Owens is the only thing that's captivating me and keeping me watching right now.
Hmm. Tony, what about you? What did you come away with?
I missed Brock Lesnar.
Hmm. Everyone?
There wasn't anything with Lesnar tonight. There was no repercussions for Seth Rollins. The main event and the big story of the whole night became pointless to me because of something that I'm sure we're going to break down a little bit later, but it was built up as something that you're going to watch that's going to happen a little bit later, and it never did. And it was just completely anticlimactic, and it would have been significantly better with Lesnar's appearance.
All right, well, I mean, we can go ahead and start this off as our talking point for the start of the show. I mean, our main story through this was began with the opening segment. Seth Rollins invites out Jay and J&K and is very friendly to him. He talks about how much he appreciates them and decides to start showering them with gifts, not the least of which he unveils 3 brand new Apple Watches. One for each one of them. The guys get these big shit-eating grins on their faces. They pose for pictures with each other as they put them on. It was adorable. Then Seth Rollins tells Kane that he's going to be sending him on an all-expense-paid trip to Hawaii. Kane's going to love that one. He does enjoy hot places, and I believe he made some quip about throwing somebody into a volcano or something. So that sounds fun. And he topped it all off with getting J&J security a brand new 2015 Cadillac. Seth Rollins is just the best boss ever. All these great gifts. Wago, which one of these gifts would you most like to get?
Probably the Apple Watch. I'm not a big car guy. And as far as vacations go, I end up just using a fucking internet connection anyway, so definitely the watch.
I mean, you can just put on an Oculus Rift and take you to Hawaii these days.
Yeah, fuck real sun. That burns.
The reactions of these guys were fantastic. What did you think about that?
Well, it was weird. As this segment first started, I was getting a big kick out of it. And then it just felt like it was dragging, and then it became really funny again.
Oh, the bell curve.
It was the total fucking Family Guy thing where it gets really annoying, but then just does full circle and becomes funny again. So, no, J&J are just fucking great. I don't know what else to say. They've got their characters down, and they're funny as hell. They made this segment.
Now, Tony, would you enjoy being on the payroll of Seth Rollins?
Well, I mean, if he's going to get me a car and shit, of course, so. But
well, in order to earn it, you have to get your ass kicked by Brock Lesnar. I believe someone in our Mega Maniacs Facebook group said that it would be 90 seconds with Brock Lesnar. Do you think you could take 90 seconds with Brock Lesnar? Forward.
Does it count if I run away from Brock Lesnar for as many of that as possible?
You could try. I don't think you get a head start, but you could try.
Collapse self.
I'm kind of assuming that Seth Rollins would pay the medical bill too. So.
WWE doesn't even pay the medical bills. Why would he?
Well, they're not TNA. I'm assuming somebody pays.
Well, this segment got followed up throughout the night. They had a few little fun backstage segments. I think my favorite was when J&J were standing there watching a guy wax the car, and Joey like pushes him back. He's like, "No, I'll show you how to wax a car." Just shows like even with these guys who are like on top of the world, they still have this subservient attitude to like do the menial tasks. And at the end of this night, our main event was a tag match with Seth Rollins in there teaming with Kane to go against Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, good old buddy boys. No disqualification, so we got to see some brawling throughout the ringside. They took out a few weapons, nothing too intense. This was just Raw after all, and it was a little short. Bray Wyatt eventually ended up interfering, causing Roman Reigns to get distracted out of the match for a bit. Dean Ambrose got the numbers game played on him, eventually got pinned. There was a long beatdown sequence after this. I can't really get too deep into what exactly happened. All I remember is that Authority was standing on top. They walk away. Bray Wyatt comes out. He hits Sister Abigail, and we go off the air with him on his knees. What?
Sister Abigail? Here's a complaint that I have about this. It's one of the many complaints that I have about this whole setup for this night. They spoiled this ahead of time, and I mean, we know this kind of stuff by now. We've watched wrestling long enough. We know that Bray Wyatt's going to come in and interfere, but they literally said tonight at like 10 o'clock or something, but can Roman Reigns keep his head in the game when Bray Wyatt's out there ready to fucking interfere in the match and cost him the win at like 11:05, basically?
Well, no, I don't think he meant like Bray Wyatt was going to be there ringside. I think he meant like Bray Wyatt was out there. You know, he's lingering around somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that flat out just says to you, Bray Wyatt's going to come out here and interfere.
Well, no, like, no, the narrative was already set up because last week Roman Reigns ditched his match when Bray Wyatt was on the Titantron. That's why they're questioning, is he going to be able to keep his head in the game? They even had that backstage segment earlier in the night when he was with Dean Ambrose, and Dean's like, yeah, I'm ready, but are you ready? Are you going to be able to keep focused?
Anybody was kind of hoping right then as well that Triple H would have been like, no, are you? That kind of thing. But no, I hated this whole idea of the obvious Bray Wyatt interference. And what pissed me off about it and why it ties into the Brock Lesnar thing, you've got Seth Rollins and Kane and Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury, and then you throw Bray Wyatt in there, and it just becomes a beatdown of Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. And if they were the ones feuding with Seth Rollins right now, it still would be kind of boring to me. I mean, we mentioned this last week. These beatdown things are just getting tiresome. But they're not even the ones feuding with him right now. It's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar could have come out and made the save. That would have been kind of interesting. Or, more importantly, he could have fucked up the car, which is what everybody was assuming what was going to happen. And I know that some people might be like, yeah, but you were expecting that too, and isn't that better that they didn't? No, it's Chekhov's gun. You don't set up a gun without the gun going off.
Well, to that defense, or defense that I should say, this story isn't over. Just because
it is tonight.
It is tonight, but the story is continual. Just because we didn't see the car get destroyed tonight, maybe they're going to come out with it for a few weeks. Maybe this is a longer story than we think. Like, maybe they're going to be like Alberto Del Rio, and they're going to be coming out with their fancy car every week.
See, I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in that.
The pay-per-view isn't going to be next week like it is all we've kind of been exposed to recently. They've got to drag this one out a little longer. They've got a bit more of a wait. So keep Brock Lesnar off TV for a couple of weeks and then have him come back and clean house.
I think it would be funny if they came out in that car to the July 4th show in Japan. You know,
yeah.
You know, because they'd have to import it. You know, be ridiculous.
Yeah, it'd be great.
It's comedy to that.
Hey.
See, I've spent all this time without Brock Lesnar. For him to come, you know, like 1-2 weeks, then take another couple weeks off, and then come back one more time, then just beat people down one more time, that's not enough.
Like, God, he's so fucking clean.
He was out selling an injury from being beat down last week.
He didn't need to be beat down last week. Remember, we were complaining about...
But he was. You can't just pretend it didn't happen.
But that's another issue. Well, you know what? You could have, like... Why did we need to have Del Rio versus Sheamus for all those months? We didn't. It still sucked. It's not just because it's over that it didn't suck in retrospect. Like, I think they made a mistake last week, and then they followed it up with a mistake this week. And if you're going to just drag everything out, then you know what? If Battleground doesn't really follow through, I mean, we had, what was it, Payback, I think, ended up being just like a set of rematches and then to set up Elimination Chamber. I don't want build-ups to pay-per-view to be, well, we got to wait until next week. We got to wait until next week and just hope that it pays off. And if it doesn't, then, well, we just got to wait until the next pay-per-view.
That's
and then
storytelling.
You're
you can't
months.
Throw all your cards on the table in the first week, and then the rest of the weeks are going to be, well, we got nothing because we did everything that first week.
No, they don't have to do everything, but they needed to do more. This wasn't good enough for me.
I think this was a great story they told throughout the night. Seth Rollins and his buddies all back together. The gang is back on top. They just demolished the toughest beast, or as we said on Smack Talk, the kayfabe greatest wrestler of all time. They took him down, and this week was their celebration party. This all made perfect sense to me. Wago, where are you on this?
I'm personally fine with the segment other than I think it dragged, but these closing segments always drag because I think the USA likes them to go over a little so the rating bleeds into the next show. But other than it dragging out too long, it was fun. Seth looks like a beast now. They need to build this authority stable up as something legitimate because for a while they've just seemed like nobodies that were just roadblocks until a guy could get to Seth. Now they're actually looking like a stable unit that can work together.
I'm glad they didn't go with that story that they were rumoring around that like Brock was just going to spend each week taking out a person individually until Battleground. That would have been boring. Yeah. This is a much better way to go because now Brock Lesnar has this big force he has to overcome at Battleground.
And here's the thing. I don't think Brock's going to be WWE champion, at least not for a while. So Seth's going to need an out to be able to beat Brock because... I don't buy him beaten and clean.
Hell no. As far as I know, I haven't heard anything about this match having any kind of gimmick to it.
So something's got to give. So they need to build this authority up and have a reason for Brock to lose.
Mm-hmm. So if we could see this car destroyed anyway, which way would we like to see it destroyed?
2 hours ago. No, don't paint a dick like that. I want to see Brock Lesnar fuck it up with his bare hands.
Like the hands from a bear?
Yeah. Like he's going to get, you know, those foam hands that you get with the number one? He's going to buy bear ones of those and then just go ape shit on it.
I don't know how he's
going to go ape shit with bear ones, but.
I want him to go find that shark that he F5'd and F5 it onto the car.
Maybe it could be like that little hidden level in Street Fighter where you fuck up the car.
Oh, man.
Like Blanca mode.
Sci-fi need to use him when they have Shark Week. Just saying.
He has to be careful not to pull a Bill Goldberg and punch the glass or anything, though. That's disastrous. That's stupid. They might get, heat of the moment, do something crazy like that.
To be fair, he is a guy that he does have a habit of running into hard things during matches and busting himself open the hard way.
He also needs to make sure that he doesn't pull a Kofi Kingston. I mean, I know he's going to face him on July 4th, but Kofi falling through the windshield when he was busting up Orton's car, not a good thing to do.
Fell through the windshield?
Yeah, remember he stepped his foot through it?
I don't remember that happening.
Remember Orton stepping his foot through an announce table? That was funny as fuck.
Yeah, I remember Kofi like slipping slightly on the hood. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, he like his foot went through part of the windshield when he was passing it, didn't it?
No, he like slipped. He slipped his foot like a couple inches while he was getting off of the hood of the car.
Yeah, I think it happened right after that one bushwhacker died.
This is like a classic case of just like blowing something up. He slipped slightly. Oh my god, he went through the fucking windshield.
He didn't like slam through the windshield or something. I thought he slipped and his foot went through one of the cracks or something like that. No. I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch this again. Either way, fucking Brock Lesnar should have beat the shit out of this car.
It's gonna happen. And it's gonna be anticipation because, you know, now we get to see them gloat in their car. Maybe they'll do like a periscope of them driving around in the car. That'd be cool, huh?
Now, if next week they don't make this car a big thing and then they don't pay it off and all that, are you going to look back retrospect and go, yeah, that really did suck that they didn't do anything on June 29th?
Yeah, but I am not worried that they're not going to do anything. I don't think they're going to do this whole thing throughout the whole night and not do something with it.
Or are you going to look at that as what last week was, where it was, well, they already did it. They already didn't do it, so it doesn't matter. Let's move on, kind of a thing.
What?
Am I the only one that actually just wants to see J&J get a car and not have it destroyed and be like, good for you.
No appreciation. Did you see how happy they were? Like, Jamie Noble was had like this big sheet-eating grin, and then Joey Mercury was like punching the air with excitement.
Like, can't we keep that? Let them come out to it in every week. I'd be fine with that.
Freaking Jamie Noble started like beeping the horn in time with Big Show's music. That's amazing. That's what I do when I'm playing freaking wrestling music really loud. I'll start beeping my horn with it. Anybody else?
No. I don't want to get pulled over.
Well, at least it's me. At least I know I got Jamie Noble on my side. All right. Well, we want to know what all you out there got to think about all the gifts and things that went down on Raw tonight with Seth Rollins and the rest of the Authority members. Dial in to get your voice heard on the phone lines. Area code 760-512-7247. Also got the chat room rolling around. We got Wazili saying Brock should have suplexed the car. That'd be intense. Take the car to Suplex City and impound it. Get it? Pound. MMA joke. Big Show, speaking of his theme getting played, came out for a match against Mark Henry. We had Miz on commentary. Pretty short matchup. Big Show wins after hitting the weapon of mass destruction. Really just like underwhelming. You got these two giants coming out there and like you could have made this a pay-per-view. And yeah, these guys have faced it 100 times before, but you still could have.
This was a world championship match before.
Yeah.
And a good one at that.
It's kind of a waste, I think. But at the same time, they got bigger plans for Big Show right now. It's Mark Henry just was a casualty, which is a shame. You could have done that with Adam Rose if you were going to do that. Whatever. Ryback comes out after the match. He starts targeting Big Show. Miz sneaks in and hits Ryback with a kick. He runs away. Ryback ends up calling him back, and we'll just combine these two segments. Ryback has a match with The Miz. Ryback does this really cool extended standing vertical suplex in it, which is really my only note that I have here. He held Miz up for what seemed like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. It was a long time. Ryback eventually gets the upper hand, but Miz ducks out of the ring, runs to the back. Referee counts up to four and then calls for the bell for a count out, because apparently you get counted out at four or five now. And Ryback wins. So this is pretty much all going hand in hand to keep the story building for our Intercontinental title match that we're having at Battleground, featuring Miz, Ryback, and Big Show. Miz playing the smart guy, which I think is pretty neat, sitting on commentary, picking his spot, running in, getting that quick kick on Ryback, and running away during this match too, keeping himself fresh. You know, don't tire yourself out tonight. Your match is at Battleground. That's where you want to keep yourself fresh for. And he'll be happy to watch Ryback and Big Show. He mentioned this on commentary too, like, just watch these guys get hurt and beat other bigger guys up while they're beating them up. Miz is smart. Good for him. Wago, who's your pick for this at this point?
Honestly, I think the Miz is going to take it. I don't think he's going to keep the belt long term, but I think he's going to get a short run.
Showing his craftiness, and I'm getting the feeling that that's something that's going to pull into there as well. Tony, is the Miz being smart here?
I just pulled away, go. I didn't unmute that. He definitely is, and I'm starting to believe that the Miz might take this toe. I don't want that to happen. But
I like Ryback. It's a shame.
They're really starting to set this up in that way, though, for it to be like Ryback and Big Show duking it out and Miz getting a quick roll-up or something. Or like the two of them doing like some kind of a big spot and they're both kind of knocked out and Miz just like, you know, picks up the pieces and stuff. But I hope it's not the case. I hope Ryback just wins, because I'd like to see him keep that Intercontinental title for at least until Survivor Series, if not longer.
You know, I can't lie about one thing about Miz that really bothered me when I first saw him starting to do it, but I actually, like, I can't help but just, like, laugh whenever he does it now, is when he starts flailing his arms around like he's got, like, wings or something. Like, he usually does it before he takes his glasses off. Like, I don't know if he's supposed to be, like, quieting the crowd down or what the hell he's doing. But he did it, like, as a celebratory pose after he kicked Ryback. He got out of the ring and was just, like, flapping his arms around. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? This guy plows freaking Maurice. It's not fair.
Yeah, for a guy that's a quote-unquote superstar, he's fucking dorky as hell.
I was thinking about this. I've been hearing there's some heat about this whole Tough Enough thing. Because they feel, why do you need Tough Enough when you already have NXT making all your future stars? So a lot of people aren't happy that someone's just going to walk in and get this contract handed to them. I'm thinking they're trying to create another Miz. You know, a person who comes in from a reality show and is going to come in and have not just heat with the crowd, but massive heat with everybody backstage. Because that's how the Miz was. The Miz was the most hated guy on payroll in that company at one point.
If I get more JBL bullying stories, I'm all for it.
I don't see what the problem with Tough Enough is, though. I mean, if you try and the person fails, then they fail. Like, you know, I mean, it's, if you get somebody who's really good, they could look at, like, there's a guy on Tough Enough right now, Patrick. He's like 19 years old or something.
Name's not Rick.
And he seems like a type of guy who's young enough, talented enough, has enough personality that they should totally be looking at this guy for the future. Mm. And it might not work out. You know, you never know. There's people that come in. Everybody thought Desmond Wolfe would work out. That didn't. But what's the difference between him going on a reality show and winning the competitions, getting votes from the audience to prove that he is, like, popular enough to win a show, or them just outright giving him a contract for developmental? You know, like, you could get a football player who has no skill wrestling whatsoever, and they give him a contract because it's like, he's a big guy, we can teach him how to wrestle. Nobody complains about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to point out. It's kind of weird. People like to say it's because they're not paying their dues, but the reality of it is, WWE's picking up talent now, which have, like, no background in pro wrestling, mm-hmm. because they don't want an indie guy anymore. So this is essentially just how they hire talent now. I guess they're getting more television exposure than a lot of these guys.
That's how they hire talent now. That's how they've been hiring talent since, like, the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. That's how they picked up Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
They went through a period where they wanted, they was more interested in some of the indie guys, and now they've stepped away from that.
But you know what? I would see the valid complaints if they pushed them to the moon immediately. If somebody wins tough enough and the next night on Raw they win the Intercontinental title, it'd be like, yeah, what the fuck? But that's not going to happen. They're going to go down to pre-NXT, probably.
It would be smart to, but I don't think so, because they're going to capitalize on the fact that this person is a big USA reality show star, and they're going to want to get him on Raw as quick as possible. And they won via
either way. I think that it's something that it's probably. I mean, it could just be total bullshit too. It's just the websites and stuff could be blowing this out of proportion. But if they are complaining and stuff, I would say complain more about the Divas search than anything.
Well, that's another can of worms for another day. For now, though, I'm going to open up the phone lines to you folks out there. So if you're listening, you want to get your voice heard on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, pick up that phone, dial the number, area code 760-512-7247. Get yourself in line. We already got a couple callers here, but you'll get yourself in really soon as we're going through them. But let's bring on our first one here. Our first caller is calling to us from the 646 area code. Caller from 646, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Aisha, guys. What's up?
Aisha, what's up, homegirl? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm tremendous. How are you guys? You guys tremendous? Be tremendous, guys.
I'm fabulous.
Yes, you are.
Aisha, what's on your mind? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
I thought it's average at best. It's a typical Raw. I missed the first 10 minutes and when I got gone on Raw probably 8:15, and I see Seth Rollins and Kane doing this thing. I'm just like, what the hell are they doing?
Oh, that was the best segment of the show. Didn't you see J&J's faces? They were like so happy to get these great gifts. They got Apple Watches. Apple Watches. Has your boss ever bought you an Apple Watch?
I don't know. I would like to get one, but I can't afford one.
No, so. But that you know what? Neither could J&J Security or Kane. But that's why Seth Rollins bought them one.
Hey, but that Cadillac was nice, though.
Oh, the Cadillac was super nice. If you could have any one of those gifts, which one would you take?
I'll take the Cadillac. I need a car.
Well, what if the caveat is that in order to get the car, you had to have a minute and a half alone with Brock Lesnar?
Oh, boy.
And if you got the car, there might be a foreboding feeling that Brock Lesnar might be coming to do something bad to it. As Tony says, it's got the Chekhov's gun claws attached to the car.
Then I might as well get the watch then.
Oh yeah, Tony. How come you didn't say anything about Chekhov's gun about the watch? Someone could have came in and took the watch and dropped it into a cup of water.
I actually expected them to do something with the watch too. They didn't do anything with that either.
Oh well. Okay then.
What does that even do? Is it a phone on a watch?
It's an accessory to a phone. It'll show your text messages appear on it, and there's probably other crap you can get on it. It probably tracks your steps, and you could probably play little games on it. I don't know.
You know what it does? It wastes a couple $100.
There's cool things with it. I'm actually excited to get the next generation one, because the next one that they release is supposed to have a FaceTime camera on it, which means that you could chat with people face to face right on your watch, which is going to be totally badass. It's going to be like Penny from Inspector Gadget, where you could just talk to people like that. Can't wait. The future is now. I'm so excited. So what did you think about the rest of the show though? I mean, that was our big story. Anything else stick out from you throughout this entire 3-hour show?
Definitely Cena and Owens. Yeah, I continue to love Owens. Mm-hmm. Him on commentary. Thank you, Owens, Tone, Michael Cole, Byron Saxon. You're annoying on commentary, but I'm just loving this feud. I mean, they're having another match at Battleground. I hope Owens wins the US title because Because when he won that money, when Cena won Money in the Bank, of course, John Cena has to get his win back, mm-hmm. of course. So he's having another match, Battleground, and help out Owens this time. And I heard they might take it all the way to SummerSlam.
Oh, gosh. That's a lot of Cena Owens matches.
I know. I mean, they're amazing. I mean, I don't mind seeing them. It's just that kind of driving a little bit long. And, like, if they really want Owens to win the U.S. title, I think he should win at SummerSlam because, you know, it's kind of the biggest show of the year and it's kind of a great moment. And it's going to be in New York and, you know, New York crowds are. So
you're thinking that actually Kevin Owens shouldn't win at Battleground?
I mean, they can do something.
I mean, yeah, there's lots of ways they can play that out in a way where Kevin Owens doesn't win the title. I mean, they can put some kind of disqualification situation. Maybe John Cena cheats to win. I mean, I think that was something Tony brought in the last match. And
I mean, I heard he's supposed to drop the belt to Finn Balor for the NXT title in Japan. Then he's going to take the U.S. title. From seeing that Battleground. That's what I heard.
But. Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you what your high point and low point for the show was tonight.
Let's see. I'm going to see. I'll try to remember from what happened on the show. I don't want to say my low point was the opening segment because it was just nice seeing those items, especially that Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the low point would be is I'm so confused. Which one is a face or a heel? I can't with them.
Wait.
That's my low point and high point.
Okay. Well, Aisha, it's always good hearing from you here every single time you call in. You're always welcome to try calling in any week we're on. And you have a good night.
Okay, you too, guys. Nice being here. I'm back.
All right. Have a good night, Aisha. All right. We'll keep the conversation rolling here with the hosts. Remember, if you want to call in, get your voice heard here on the Raw Post Show, dial in area code 760-512-7247. You can also hit us up on the Twitter at Raw Post Show. And shout outs to the chat room as well. And they're talking about drag queens or something. What the hell are you guys going on about?
You don't want to know.
So let's bring the conversation back to us host here for a little bit. Let's talk about our favorite segment of the night, the Divas match. Mm-hmm. We got to have Paige versus Alicia Fox. I really didn't see what it was, but someone was telling me that this match was okay. All I know is Paige won with a roll-up, and the crowd actually, like, reacted. So I don't know what I missed, but something went down where the crowd was really into this match. Can you guys explain something I missed?
No, because I didn't watch. I found something else more interesting to do.
I missed the first half.
Maybe it's the rights. Maybe we do need to get someone else to watch the deepest match.
No, I'll add a little bit extra here to this to explain that. I missed almost the entirety of the Cesaro match, too. I was just busy doing some other things at different points of the night, and I didn't purposely skip it on this. But the last part that I did see, it seemed like there was a lot more energy behind it. And not seeing the build up to it, I couldn't get into it as much. But you could tell that the crowd was a little bit more into it than normal. So that seemed kind of cool. And like it ended in a way that seemed like the match was better than normal. Mm. And Alicia Fox had this whole like ugly hot thing going on, like Scary Spice or something. Like she looked like a train wreck, but I was digging it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So that was something where I was just kind of like, huh, I like this look.
I know, that's what happens when you hang out with the like Bellas. Bellas are bad influences.
Maybe that's it. Do you guys think it's weird too, by the way, that they are setting up the story where it's like you've got to make a side, but all they've done so far is Alicia Fox? Like Emma hasn't.
Yeah, you think this would become like a big, like stable feud where like, people are picking sides? Like maybe someone betrays and goes the other side.
And shouldn't that be around Survivor Series time? Like it doesn't you got to pick be. A side, and it's. I mean, like a build up that would have been good around then. Like
it would. Yeah.
Now it's just kind of like everybody's got to pick a side. By that we mean Alicia, and that's it. Like there's nobody going on Paige's side, but there's also nobody going on the other side either anymore.
Well,
like,
again, maybe we're expecting this to go too fast. Maybe this is going to be a big match at SummerSlam, where it's a team of divas versus a team of divas, and this story is being prolonged to get through that, and we'll be seeing all these divas picking up throughout time.
I tell you what I would really want to see if they do that, and maybe this is a way that they could do it where they can get around Nikki defending that title if they really want her to keep it for that long. Nobody picks Paige's side. And then the NXT divas do.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Now that's something that I'll be fine with if they build up to that. But if it just ends up being like in 4 weeks, we look back on this and it's like Paige and Layla against the Bella Twins and Alicia Fox or something, then I could not give a shit. And when it comes down to our reviews and stuff, I'm not going to give a shit either.
A large number of those divas down there already. I do believe Bailey just got injured, which is a shame. So you couldn't really do her. But I mean, you still got Charlotte. You still got Sasha Banks. You still got Becky Lynch.
Who the fuck injured her? No one's allowed to injure her. She's adorable.
I think Brock Lesnar gave her a bear hug with his bare hands.
He barely gave her a hug.
We got some tweets here I want to pull out from our friend Dane Quinn on Twitter, tweeting to us at Raw Post Show. He says, at Raw Post Show, please talk about hashtag Slammiversary. That's what we all want to hear about. Okay, let's talk about Slammiversary. Did any of you watch it?
No.
Nope. Me neither. So there you go.
Well, actually, I watched and whole 10 minutes of the first match, went, this is a stupid X Division spot match, and turned it off.
Was it the Monster Mash?
No, that would have been entertaining.
Here's what I know about Slammiversary. I know that a number of TNA talents wrestled their last match at Slammiversary because their contracts are up the following night. Not the least of which, Austin Aries, Magnus, James Storm, which certainly ain't good. But hey, it's okay because they have a new guy back. Oh, and no, it's not a new guy. It's fucking Jeff Jarrett.
And they introduced a new title, the King of the Mountain Championship, which just happens to hold the same lineage as the Legends Championship, the Global Championship, and the Television Championship. Fuck me. Pick a fucking name and stick with it, you mongoloids.
So is this match only, or is this title only going to be defended in King of the Mountain matches?
Well, I don't know if that's okay or not, because it has the lineage of, like, other titles. But then again, back during its previous, like, incarnations, it's had different rules then, too. Like, wasn't it before you had to be a former world champion, and then it was defended every week as the television title? I don't know what the fuck the global championship was.
Yeah,
that was like you had to defend it somewhere on Earth or something.
Well, shit, live from Mars 2016 would have been out of the question.
This promotion's out of this world. They would do that kind of shit.
Oh, gosh. That's about all the thoughts I got about Slammiversary. We've long made fun of TNA. We've held eulogies for them. Despite all that, they've managed to survive. But I tell you, it's looking like dark days for TNA.
There is one interesting TNA note. That their championship's no longer considered a world championship by the media.
Oh, yeah. Pro Wrestling Illustrated. One of the most popular wrestling publications out there, that most likely known for the PWI 500 yearly list they do, listing the top 500 wrestlers every year. They're one of the top sources that people go to for all things wrestling, and they announced today that they are no longer recognizing the TNA heavyweight title as a world title.
Way to go through two hot tags already, guys.
Jesus Christ. Wow. I guess we'll save the rest for that. We'll have TNA, TNA ULG part two.
What else you got, Tony?
Yeah, Wednesday when I come around and I'm like, all right, well, there's a lunchbox thing. I'll be like, oh, why aren't we talking about this?
Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot more developments about this. This is all stuff just based off of things that happened last night. I mean, we didn't even talk about how, like, they're merging with Global Force and all this other bullshit. There's still a lot of meat about this we have to get into.
I mean, we can cover it now and really fuck Tony over if you want.
At the very least, we know at least one other person's going to leave TNA by Wednesday.
Hopefully it's Dixie. So stay tuned to Smack Talk. We'll get very in-depth about what went down with TNA in the past week, because there's lots and lots of news. In the meantime, let's talk about something from tonight that I think we're all going to have a lot to talk about. John Cena coming out for the United States Title Open Challenge. I feel like he hasn't done in weeks. It's been quite a while, and especially someone paying attention to that for my Fantasy League team's points. that really want those title defenses. But he comes out and he issues the challenge, waits for a challenger, and it's first answered by Kevin Owens. Oh, man, the crowd just went berserk. All of us in our chat rooms that we have on the Facebook group, everyone was getting super excited. But Kevin Owens walks out, grabs a mic, and says, "Nah, you know what, the second thought, I'll just wait till Battleground." Sends out the real challenger, who ends up being Cesaro. Happy to see him as well. I mean, we haven't seen this guy since Tyson Kidd went down with injury. He was kind of worrying he was just going to get the Jey Uso treatment, where he was just going to be kept off TV and never seen. But not, he comes out, has a kick-ass match with John Cena. Like, really, really fucking good. In the end, though, he goes to put on the sharpshooter onto John Cena. We never get to see if John Cena would have tapped out, though, because Kevin Owens runs in for the disqualification, lays out both guys with a pop-up powerbomb, and keeps himself looking dominant. This whole thing was just awesome. Cesaro looked fucking fantastic. Got him right back into the public's mind. Kevin Owens getting perfect heel heat here when he ends this match. Just as the crowd is starting to get behind Cesaro and wanting to see who's going to be the victor in this, he denies them that satisfaction. This whole thing worked out fantastic for all three men involved, and I'm happy to see things continue. But Wago, do you think Cesaro possibly could have won this?
You know what's going to be awesome coming out of this? We're probably going to get Cesaro versus Kevin Owens next week.
Perhaps.
At least, but if not next week, we'll probably get it on SmackDown, and I might actually tune in for that. I like the... I liked what Michael Cole did in this match, and it's very rare that I compliment Cole. The way Kevin Owens was talking, he made it sound like it was a foregone conclusion that Cesaro was going to lose. Cole kind of covered that up, and he's like, "Well, I don't know. It looks like Cesaro's got it in hand right here." So, hats off to Cole. He actually did sound good tonight. The match itself, fucking-tastic outing. I don't think you can really expect more, especially for a television match. So I'm just loving this whole feud. Kevin Owens was very interesting to have on commentary. He did a really good job. Him and JBL played off each other very well. And I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. I hope we get this feud carry on like for a couple more months. I'm loving it.
So I'm glad you pointed out Michael Cole playing his job well here. I'll tell you who didn't play their job well. Big fucking surprise. Byron Saxton. Okay.
What did he do there? Did he say something like, "Well, Kevin Owens, are you going to interfere in this match or what?" Or something like
probably, but the line that pissed me off, he was talking to Kevin Owens. He's like, "Kevin, John Cena thought that he was going to face you, but then at the last minute, he finds out he's facing Cesaro." I'm like, "No, what the fuck are you talking about? This was an open challenge. He didn't know anybody he was facing until the last minute." Like, he had a game plan for Kevin Owens for all of, like, 20 seconds and then got Cesaro.
Like, that would be the type of thing where he'd be like, "Ah, fuck. Well, those 20 seconds, man, I changed my whole thing around and now I might as well just submit."
Man, I had a game plan and now it's all fucked up. Oh, shit.
I'm almost positive that was probably something fed to him from like Kevin Dunn or some shit like that, but like.
Kevin Dunn.
Have some fucking balls and don't say it or reword it so it makes more sense. Fucking guy. I honestly hope he gets better, because I do think we need to start prepping for the next person to take over from Michael Cole.
I hope he gets fired. We need someone else to prep for Michael Cole. It ain't him.
He's not bad most of the time. But for some reason, I think he's really intimidated on Raw. Because I think Michael Cole and JBL both bully him. And I think Vince McMahon is fucking terrifying laughing the guy.
His ass off.
No, I think he's terrifying the guy. Honestly, I think he's 100% terrified of Vince McMahon.
I could see Vince liking that they bust his balls.
Jerry Lawler is a better play-by-play guy than Byron Saxton. Remember when they trotted him out there because he was fucking sinking?
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much did the play-by-play? It was embarrassing. Actually gave me a whole new respect for Jerry Lawler.
It wasn't fair they sent him out there by himself.
No, he should have had at least one other person.
And yeah,
he should have even had the NXT people like Rich Brennan and Corey Graves. At the very least, I would have felt.
Corey Graves would have been awesome if they brought them out there with him. They actually work very well with each other.
When you're given an opportunity, run with it, and you never did. And he's sunk every night that he's out there. So I've just got a low opinion of him.
I mean, since then, he hasn't proven that he works well with a team either.
Not that team, you know? At least.
No. And it's time for them to just give up.
There's one person that is probably going to take Michael Cole's role and deserves it. Renee Young.
If she stays.
She is so fucking good at commentary when she's on her A game and not being fed stupid shit.
But I feel like I've been seeing her role getting reduced lately. And that worries me.
I also don't see her doing commentary as much as, like, the interviews and stuff.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, she's extremely good at, like, hosting the panels and, like, doing the backstage interviews and doing TV shows and all that, but not necessarily calling moves.
So is this a sexist thing? Is this like, you know, women can be field reporters, but they can't be news anchors?
No, I really want her to do that. I mean, if she can do that, I would rather her be on commentary than doing the interviews because it would be a different voice.
Hmm.
But on the flip side of things, Byron Saxton's proven to me that he's a decent interview and a bad commentator. And if they were...
Isn't Byron Saxton the guy we called a floating microphone?
Was it him or was it somebody?
And he's essentially that at commentary, too. You don't notice he's there until JBL's like, hey, Byron.
You know what it is about Byron, actually? I notice he's there too much, to the point where I don't think he's a commentator. I think he's a guest commentator. And I'm like, oh, what wrestler's on there? Oh, it's Byron Saxton.
And, oh, why is he on there?
And it's never, oh, it's Byron Saxton. It's, oh, Byron Saxton.
Yeah, indeed. All right, well, with that, let's move on. Let's bring on our next caller that we have waiting patiently. They are calling in from the 609 area code. Caller from 609, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Janelle again.
Hey, Janelle again. How you doing, man? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
I missed the first hour of the show, but I was with family, having a good time. Yeah. But from what I saw of it, I thought it was pretty good.
Very cool. What was your favorite part about it?
The John Cena Cesaro match for United States Championship. I thought that was excellent and very, very good match. And also, Kevin Owens' play-by-play with the commentary was awesome.
It absolutely was. Kevin Owens is proving to be one of those guys you could put pretty much everywhere, and he's going to give you something golden. Do you hope to see, we were talking to our last caller, she was talking about how she would rather see Kevin Owens win that title at SummerSlam. What are you thinking about Battleground? Do you think Kevin Owens should win the title at Battleground, or should they hold off?
That's a tough one. I think it would be a good idea for him to win at SummerSlam, but at the same time, it's not really, it's not going to have the intrigue because it's not a rubber match.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. What about what's going on with our Intercontinental title? Who are you hoping to see come out of that at Battleground?
I don't care.
Well, that's too bad. What do you care about right now, then? I mean, what about Brock Lesnar? What do you hope to see continue between? We got a long path between now and Battleground. A lot of time to fill. What can we do with Brock Lesnar to get people super excited for that match?
He needs to take down the Authority, and also Paul Heyman needs to cut one of his promos again, because he sets up the match really well, and if he does a promo on Brock Lesnar, just destroys the Authority, I think that'll set up the match pretty good.
Well, what else will you hope to see at Battleground? Because right now it's kind of opened up. It's kind of a filler pay-per-view between what's going up to SummerSlam. They could take some time to experiment. So if you wanted to see one wild thing happen at Battleground, what would you like to see happen?
I don't know yet. Okay. I really don't know yet.
All right, that's fine. Think it over. Maybe let us know next week. We're going to keep moving along here, Chanel. Always good to hear from you, so you have a good night. Put the word out there again to you, folks. If you want to call in, get your voices heard on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, you can join us by dialing area code 760-512-7247. And also via Twitter, at Raw Post Show. And we'll keep the ball rolling with the hosts here. We had a promo with Bray Wyatt, another one of his creepy sprawling promos where he's all over, and he talks about how he wasn't his daddy's favorite, which I thought was kind of an interesting story. So that means Bo Dallas was the favorite.
Have you seen Bo Dallas? I hope not.
Well, I have to imagine that's where he got all this confidence. Like, yeah, and I bet it was that, like, the whole situation is they knew Bray was the smart one, so they knew he was going to be okay, but Bo was special, so they always had to tell him how special and good he was.
I was kind of hoping when he said, like, my daddy didn't like me and all that other kind of stuff, he would have been like, you know, he just completely wrote me off. It's just like a tax thing that he used to do with the IRS.
Seriously, he took all my shit.
When he didn't do that, I was just like, fuck, you missed a perfect opportunity there to throw in a lame joke. But it was kind of a weird promo. It was like, I'm the yin to your yang, the peanut butter to your jelly. I love you, bro. I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Did he really say that?
He said the yin to the yang. He didn't say the peanut butter to the jelly. That would have been very, very timely with culture that's going on right now, if he did.
Peanut butter and jelly? Oh, yeah, those racist sandwiches.
Is that what's in those sandwiches at Arby's?
I hope not. What,
racism?
Yeah, racist peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, goodness.
So Bray Wyatt, yeah.
We had a really big 8-man tag match of the Lucha Dragons and the Primetime Players going against the New Day and IRS's favorite child, Bo Dallas. Really just sloppy all-around 8-man tag. I couldn't really make sense of what was going on as far as story-wise. But in the end, we get your usual messy spot fest of everyone going in trying to do a move. Titus O'Neil catches Kofi Kingston off the top rope, slams him down for a pin. The baby faces celebrate. Yay.
When a commentator typically has to say, oh, it's hard to keep track in these matches, it's because the guys in the ring are making a clusterfuck of a match.
Oh.
Just saying.
It's a Jim Rossism, probably. He always had a good... No, seriously, Jim Ross was a master at that, at, like, hiding faults in the ring with something on his commentary. Like, when someone botches a move, he's like, oh, there's a modified version of whatever the move is.
There's always a modified.
Or he just skimmed him with that.
Or, by God, oh, shit, fucking Skittles.
Oh, his neck is fucking paralyzed.
Barbecue sauce, motherfucker.
Seems like they dropped Neville out of this story because he was involved in it for a little bit. Wasn't he doing something with Bo Dallas?
How did they drop Neville? Gravity forgets about him.
Hey!
Xavier Woods called Gravity and reminded him.
Yes.
Yeah, touche.
That's why he's got that up, up, down, down. It's not just up, up.
If I could say one person came out of this looking really good, Titus O'Neil. This guy, he started doing the pounce that Marcus Corvan used to do, only he, like, does it much more explosive, and he, like, screams like a raging asshole when he does it. It's fucking insane. And that finishing move he does now with the sit-down slam, really cool. I'm liking Titus O'Neil. Even if I'm not as hot on the Primetime Players as I once was, I'm getting more optimistic about a possible singles run for Titus O'Neil down the road.
I don't think it's happening.
He's too fucking ugly.
But he's Father of the Year.
Still fucking ugly.
Yeah, we've had ugly people as champion. Mick Foley was champion.
Yeah, but he was TV. Like,
to be fair,
he was TV ugly. Titus is just ugly.
Seth Rollins ain't exactly a looker.
Not even if he gets the perfect angle.
Damn it, baby, too, you son of a bitch.
Oh, gosh. We had Dolph Ziggler and Lana coming out saying they want to make an announcement, but they're interrupted by Rusev, who is flanked by Summer Rae. So I guess they're a thing. Some fucking dumbass drama going on here. I couldn't even tell you what they're all upset about. In the end, Summer Rae ends up getting the most vicious, taking pop shots at Lana, telling her that she's a gold digger. This prompts Summer Rae to slap Lana. Lana eventually jumps onto her and starts pulling her hair. Typical cat fight type moment. Okay. I don't know if this is supposed to be setting up a match with Lana and Summer Rae. If it is, fuck. I have no optimism for that whatsoever. I really just wish they would just give all these people time off. Just let Rusev stay away, heal up, let Dolph go away, let people have time to miss him. At first, I thought with the way they were setting this up, I actually thought they were going to do what I said, where, like, Dolph said they were going to be, he's going to be marrying Lana, and they were just going to get married and go on a honeymoon and go away for a while. I mean, smart. I don't know.
I probably would have been okay with that.
Wago, who do you think is the better couple right now?
I think this was horrible television. That's all I think. I do not give a fuck about the storyline. this was just garbage. Bad acting. And I don't really get the direction they're going in. I just don't care. Dolph and Lana, I guess, if I had to pick one, but I don't give a fuck.
There was a missed opportunity here, I think.
Yeah, they could have ended the segment before it began.
Well, I could have done it with that lot of stuff tonight. But I think that Lana mentioned she did everything based off of what Rusev told her to do. She had her own opinions about Russia and stuff that were just his. She spoke the way that he wanted her to. And I was expecting right after that for her to ditch the accent. And I think that would have been good in the long run.
She's in the process. Because you notice she's got her hair down, but it's still kind of like in a ponytail. So it hasn't
I was hoping that that would be into it too. Like that she could have said something like, so I'm ditching the accent, you know, my name isn't even fucking Lana or whatever. Like if they wanted to change the name, they could have kept it.
It's actually
Lana
backwards.
You know, if they wanted to go with the CJ thing, she could have been like, my name's actually fucking CJ. I speak like this. And then, yeah, maybe Ziggler said sort of something like that. Like, hey, you're going to let your hair down or whatever. And it's like, oh, you know, speaking of which, he always liked it in the fucking bun. And here's my hair down. And I look so much better like that. I missed opportunity, I think, there. And they've done stuff like that in the past. So it's not like it's too weird. I mean, shit, they called Kofi Kingston out on it in the middle of a promo. And it'd be fine with Lana doing that. I think that Lana's Russian accent is really weird without the Russian stuff going on.
Yeah, she can't just be Dolph Ziggler's Russian girlfriend.
Because then she's going to seem like a Russian mail order bride.
Which actually would be an interesting new dynamic for Dolph Ziggler's character.
Yeah. But I mean, we went through a transition period where the Major Brothers became Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. We've had Skip Sheffield come back as Ryback. We had Kofi Kingston drop his accent. It wouldn't have been too weird. And I think that they should have done that here instead of making it like, you know, well, Ziggler's the real man and Rusev's like, yeah, well, you were a bad fuck. And she's like, well, Ziggler's better. And then there's catfight and blah.
Oh, goodness.
Wow, you got that much from it. Jesus Christ.
We had a matchup between Sheamus and Neville. Neville has a new comic book, or was this just like a fan art thing that was drawn, or is this actually like a comic book that's coming out? Did you guys catch what he said?
All I caught was Byron Saxton went, cool. And it was like, oh, good, God damn it, dude.
Good input, Byron.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, like he instantly just like made it uncool.
Right. Oh, pretty neat. Oh, neato.
Oh, man.
Cool beans.
That's so rad.
Yeah. Oh, that's mad cool.
Neville goes for the red arrow, but Sheamus knocks the top rope, sending him face planting into the mat. Sheamus hits the bro kick, hits the 1-2-3 for the pin. Sheamus getting the victory, looking dominant in the end of this.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Sheamus should have won this match.
I agree.
That was the right booking because he's Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have complained if Neville fucking squashed him in 5 seconds because I don't give a fuck about Sheamus. Here's the issue. I don't know what it is. Like, he's just not connecting with me. He's good. He's like not bad in the ring. The new dynamic for his character of just picking on small guys is the first fresh thing he's done in a while. But he's just not connecting with me.
All right. See, I picked a bad week to do this. I have a confession to make. I think I like Sheamus again. It's been a long path. I really like Sheamus when he first came out of the scene. He's actually one of my favorite rookie guys when he first came around. I was extraordinarily happy when he won the WWE title from John Cena. Over time, I got terrible. Really sick of him, though, and I couldn't take it. It was just so bland, and they weren't doing anything fun with him. This reinvented character piqued my interest when he first came back, but there was just... there's just still this stink on him from his old character. And you know what I think the worst thing about it was when he came out saying fella during his entrance? Because otherwise, I think Sheamus has one of the best entrances of anybody in the company right now. The music and the light show, I think it's all badass.
Yeah, that's good.
And they made one tweak to it that I think has really gotten me hooked onto him, and it's during that entrance, he doesn't say fella anymore. And what he was saying, we couldn't figure out for a while, but one of our fans in the Mega Maniacs group, and I feel awful for not being able to credit them, but shout outs to who it is, they know who they are, pointed out that he's saying Vogue a Bala. And I
can't say that about me.
I'm not sure if I'm saying that completely correctly. I don't speak Gaelic, but essentially it's a Irish war cry as you're going into battle that stands for clear the way. And I'm like, that's fucking badass. Like he's actually like being what his character says, the Celtic warrior. And he comes out and he's got this crazy hair and beard. I'm digging it. I can't hide it. I like Sheamus again. I'm actually happy that he's got this Money in the Bank now. I still think he's going to lose, but I'm happy he has a spot because there's so many unique things about Sheamus. He's a really big guy. He's got this, we were talking about it last week. He's got this skin that like has these weird welts that just appear in it for any part of time. And also, as we pointed out last week, he's actually a good wrestler. He actually has some damn good matches every once in a while, like that one he had last week. One of my favorite matches I remember from that year was when him and Daniel Bryan had that 2 out of 3 falls match on the same pay-per-view that had that Brock Lesnar-John Cena match. And they still managed to be able to stick out on that show. So, my props to Sheamus.
And everybody remembers that match, and I honestly don't. I mean, I don't remember disliking it either, but everybody brings up the Extreme Rules match, and I don't remember a single thing about it.
You should go back and watch it then.
Like, it must not have been that, like, special to me. Like, I probably was like, oh, it's better than what happened at WrestleMania. But
well, you probably weren't paying attention because you have your Sheamus bias and because you were too busy waiting for Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
Maybe. I don't know. But whatever the case that is, I still don't like Sheamus. Although I did like tonight the way that he kicked the top rope. It was just kind of like, damn, this guy's legs long.
Really long.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. I like that, though.
He's deceivingly tall. Like, I think a lot of people, they look at a guy like Sheamus, they don't think of him as one of the taller guys, but he's really tall.
He's one of their big men.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reason he's picking on the little guys.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, now that he's gone into this feud, I think he needs to bring back the high cross.
Oh, dude, if he gave a high cross to Neville, that'd be awesome.
Neville just flies up into the air.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think he needs to be giving it to guys like Daniel Bryan and shit that'll probably die if he does it too, but...
He breaks into the hospital and does it to Tyson Kidd to get real heat.
But he needs to break that out once in a while because it just makes him seem so much more of a big deal.
The big deal.
Woohoo.
All right, well, we had Wade Barrett versus Jack Swagger. Another guy we haven't seen on Raw in quite some time. Jack Swagger still without Zeb Coulter. I haven't seen this guy in quite some time. And worries me. I don't know if we're ever going to be seeing him come back at this point if he wasn't there tonight. Although I guess it would be weird to have him reappear just for Jack Swagger to be squashed by King Barrett, who he said at the end of every match, he's going to have the person bow to them. And so the first match he has afterwards, he doesn't make the person bow to him. Weird. I don't know. Wago, could they still keep... or make something out of this kingship of Wade Barrett, because they've done terrible so far, but every once in a while it seems like they want to have him come out and still seem like a tough guy.
Yeah, I'm very confused with the direction for Wade Barrett, because they have him jobbing to R-Truth for a while, and then it's like, yeah, let's make him strong again this week. I'm not sure why you'd give him the King of the Ring if you've got no direction for him, because to be quite honest, the Bad News Barrett character was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the King gimmick typically works for everybody. I think it's something neat to celebrate with the get up on after you win, but it doesn't have to be like, oh, it doesn't have to be a new character for you. I hated it when Sheamus did it too. He looked fucking stupid.
So, Tony, you happy to see Jack Swagger back?
No, because he doesn't have his old theme that I could sing along to.
It'd be weird if he just came out to like his jobber theme from the very first days he came out.
That was on a commercial the other day I saw. I forget what it was for. But it was something on like the History Channel or whatever. It was just kind of like people like working on cars or something, and it was just like I'm like, holy shit.
Electronic fog or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things. It sucks for these two. I mean, Swagger is not like the best guy in the world. He sucks on the mic. He doesn't really have much character, but he's good in the ring. And Barrett is a good character, and he's good in the ring. And they just keep fucking him over and over again. Like, this guy could have had 2 world title reigns by now, and it would have been believable. And each time he gets anywhere, they just pull the rug out from underneath him. And I don't understand why. Either he has somebody who isn't fully believing in him. Like, maybe it's Vince. Maybe it's Triple H. I don't know. or they like want him to go an extra level in something, like maybe he doesn't do the charity shit and it rubs him the wrong way. I don't know, but it seems like the most that Wade Barrett can ever get is popular for like 2 months. And then he has to build himself back up again. Having a match against Jack Swagger in the middle of Raw, not going to do it.
End of Raw.
It felt like it was like, you know, hours and hours into it to me. I think this was the point of the night where I was just like, holy shit, it's what? Like, it's 10:30? I thought it was like midnight.
Yeah, Wade Barrett definitely deserves a bit of spot, but at least Jack Swagger's in the role that he belongs.
Yeah. Swagger's somebody who should stay in this role and maybe be a tag team guy until he's done. No more Intercontinental title reigns, no more world title shots. I mean, he could be somebody who could be really, really good to take like Dean Malenko's spot, and that's what he should be aiming for.
I never understood why he got so many opportunities. He shit the bed every time.
Well,
maybe he could take Norman Smiley's spot. Something like that.
I wouldn't say he's just awfully good as Norman specific. Smiley. Like,
well, he is somebody who his gimmick used to be just pointing at a smile. He's pretty smiley.
Yeah, well, Dolph Ziggler has that job now.
Remember when we went through that phase where everybody's gimmick was, hi, my name is whatever?
No.
My name is Dolph Ziggler, and he would shake their hands. Randy Orton would come out, and the first thing he would say was, my name is Randy Orton, and then Del Rio would come out. My name is Alberto Del Rio, but you already know that. It was just like, holy shit. It's a title card.
Those are all different times. those never happened at once, and now we have Paul Heyman saying it. It's introducing yourself. It's an oratory thing.
Yeah, it's tiresome.
We had our main event was Seth Rollins and... we already talked about this. Yeah, fuck this main event. No. Any final thoughts about the show, guys?
Go bacon.
Well, that actually transitions me into my favorite commercial of the night. I'm actually managing to keep this going 3 weeks straight. My favorite commercial this week, also not a brand new one, but one I want to shout out to, it's from Skittles. It's the one where they're eating the last bit of Skittles in a plate, and there's like, oh, there's only one yellow one left. What do we do? Settle it the usual way! And the entire town gathers into the middle of this, like, old Western saloon street, and they set up a table, and they unveil that they all have these massive right arms, and they go in and they have an arm wrestling match. And that's how they settled the usual way. And it showed the entire town of people having massive right arms. Like little kids and even the dog had a massive right arm. There's this town all day. They settle things with arm wrestling.
I must have missed that one, but I'm sure JR loved it.
Well, it was Fruity.
Fruity, my God, Fruity. Also reminds me of this video. I posted it a few weeks into the Mega Maniacs group. You may not have watched it because it definitely required a strong stomach. Where these two really, really buff guys were arm wrestling to the point where they were so strong that the one guy broke the other guy's arm when he pushed against it. Oh my gosh, so nasty. I
guess he won the Skittle.
It was a test of Skittle. No? Couldn't really make that one fit there. All right, well, let's start wrapping things up here, folks. We got one last thing to do, and that's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's head on over to it. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of Raw, the worst part of Raw, and the most must-avoid part of Raw is. So, in the meantime, as we hosts are doing it, I want to invite all you in the chat room to put your good, bad, and ugly, and I'll read them at the end here. Let me ask the host first, though. Wago, your good, bad, and ugly. Wago?
I think he's pulling a Wago.
I am pulling away, Tony. as far as my good goes, it's John Cena versus Dolph Ziggler. Well, John Cena versus Cesaro. Solid match, a lot of fun. For my bad, I'm going to have to give that to Dolph Ziggler and that terrible fucking segment with Rusev. And my ugly goes to Byron Saxton on commentary.
All right, Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good goes to that John Cena versus Dolph Ziggler match that I didn't see. The good goes to Ryback's vertical suplex. Ooh. That was something that stood out to me throughout the night. Suplex. Very cool. Very long vertical suplex. I like when people do that because it really shows their strength. And when they're doing a feud where Ryback is the big guy, but he's also the itty-bitty Ryback boy, I think that's what Ryback Big Show had said. Mm-hmm. Really stupid thing that he said there. But it's good to show him showcase that. And he can't do that with Big Show, but if he could.
Yeah. You're really bitter over fucking Big Show just saying that to him.
Did someone make fun of you for being small or something?
It's like, such a weird phrase. Like, you're an itty-bitty Ryback boy. Like, it almost sounds like discriminatory.
He's going to be in another feud
and he'll bring it up.
He said it in, like, a condescending, like, boy voice. Like, it was supposed to sound stupid.
If he would have said you're an itty bitty boy, it would have made sense. But itty bitty Ryback boy, like that's an adjective.
Well, he's
one of them Ryback boys.
He's not a Miz boy.
No, he isn't. But it would have been awkward if he would have said you're a really itty bitty Miz boy too. But I like the vertical suplex. I think that stood out, and it's kind of making me think that maybe since we already saw him do the shell shock, maybe we'll see him do a vertical suplex on Big Show. That would be pretty sweet. I know he's not going to hold him up that long, but holy fuck, if he could do that, then that'd be amazing. My bad is going to go to the fact that I couldn't think of a good way to work a joke in between our Facebook page vacant and Kane's vacation. I tried to think of it like the entire night, and I couldn't think of a goddamn thing. It really pisses me off.
Yeah, I would have gave up on that one early.
The ugly goes to Bo Dallas. Holy shit, he looked puffy as hell tonight. And I don't understand why he would have been the favorite son, because he looks like his dinner last night was a bowl of salt with some sugar on top. Very, very awkward. And it's making me think that Bo Dallas has no future. If he doesn't look the part, he's not getting the reaction, he's not getting any feuds. His career is looking pretty ugly right now.
All right, we got one out of the chat room here. Ferris419 saying, good, Cena versus Cesaro. Bad, no card destruction and ugly Summer Rae's acting. Hard to disagree with that one there. I'll give you my good, bad, and ugly, folks. My good, brand new Apple Watches. A beautiful gift that Seth Rollins bestowed among his staff. The bad? I didn't get one. I just felt jealous this entire segment. I wanted an Apple Watch. I want to go to Hawaii. I want a brand new Cadillac, even though I just got a new car this year. It wasn't a Cadillac. And the ugly? Kevin Owens' armpits. You ever guys notice that he has like these nasty stains around his armpits?
Kevin Stains.
Kevin Stains, exactly. Really gross. Guy looks like he needs to take a shower. Hopefully he could scrub that nasty thing on his arm, too.
Did he used to be roommates with Luke Harper?
They might have done their laundry together a couple times. all right, folks. One last bit of business to take care of before we wish you all a good night. And that's to give each one of these hosts here a little bit of time to tell you about the other cool things going on in their world that you should check out. Tony, what's good?
SmartOutMoment.com. Everybody check that out for a wrestling side of things. Smack Talk Podcast is on there. You could also find that on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/SmartOutMoment. Check out fanboysanonymous.com for all things in geek culture, and we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube as well for that. And pay attention to the Facebook page for the All Talk Show, because you never know when an All Talk Show episode is going to pop up.
Mr. Huego, what's good?
All right, to find out what's going on with me, go over to stephenwego.com. That'll take you to my SoundCloud and all my social media links, where you can catch the newest Huego rants and whatever else is going on.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed this edition of the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. And if you did, you should be tuning in to MegaPowersRadio.com every single Monday night once Raw goes off the air, because we are the most interactive post-Raw experience available. And we keep things fun here with the hosts that we got, and inviting you to join the conversation as well. However, if you can't be here on Mondays, we do make the show easily available in archive form. We are on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, and all links to these can easily be found at smarkoutmoment.com. You can also support us if you have some extra coins laying around that you need a place to go. You can send them our way on our Patreon account. That's patreon.com/megapowersradio. As little as $1 a month, you can support us here. Keep bringing you fine programming for your ears to enjoy. And we appreciate any of the ways that you can support us, even if it's just listening to us. Until next week, folks, I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango and Steven Wago and all the folks here at Mega Powers Radio. This has been the Raw Po Show. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.